بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا رحمة الله الواسعة ويا باب نجاة الأمة يا شهيد يا مظلوم، يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الله، ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. الذين آمنوا وتطمئن قلوبهم بذكر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات طوبى لهم، الذين آمنوا صدق الله العلي العظيم. صل على محمد وآل محمد. Over the past few nights, brothers and sisters, We have been discussing about this whole concept of tazkiyatun nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Shams 11 times swears by his creations. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها. 11 times Allah swears about what? قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها. Successful is the one who does تزكية النفس, purifies his nafs or her nafs. And unsuccessful is the one who contaminates his nafs. For 10 nights, we have been discussing about how this nafs is a connection between the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, which has desires, has needs, and also the ruh, the spirit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and allowed it to enter into this body to give it life and movement. Its similarity to the body is like the analogy of the electricity to the light bulb. The electricity is what gives the power. If you turn off the electricity, khalas, there is no more nur. There is no more light. That's it. So that is the ruh. In between them, however, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this nafs, which then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it the power, the aql. So this nafs is sometimes referred to as the aql, the mind. It has that power. It has the power of differentiation. If it uses that power, if it uses the aql, it can control the body and its desires. And hence it can ascend towards the ruh and it can move up in the ladder of spirituality. If, however, it turns off its aql, turns off the mind, it turns off its ability to understand. Because Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَأَلْهَمَهَا. Allah, when He created the nafs, He taught us, He gave it, He inspired it. فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. The path of misguidance, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, the path of its descent, and also the path of its ascension. وَتَقْوَاهَا, the taqwa. So this nafs, when Allah created, gave it that ability. Now, if the nafs turns on the aql, it moves towards Allah. If the nafs turns off the aql, it goes away from Allah. And then it becomes worse than al-an'am, worse than the cattle. Because the cattle or the animals don't even have aql, they don't have aql. So when a human being has aql and turns it off, he becomes worse. That's why Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, says, قَبِيحٌ بِذِ الْعَقْلِ أَنْ يَكُونَ بَهِيمَةً وَقَدْ أَمْكَنَهُ أَنْ يَكُونَ إِنسَانًا. He says, it is a shame for the one whom Allah has given him aql, a mind. He's talking to the human being. That he becomes an animal when he is capable of being a human. Somebody who has the ability, the potential of being a human being, if he behaves like animals, this is an embarrassment, this is a shame. It's something bad. So, this is now our discussion for the past 10 nights about this whole process of this nafs, and then this nafs has a nafs al-ammarati bisu, which tries to take it towards the desires of the body. And then it has a nafsul mutma'inna, which is the peaceful one, the one in tranquility. And then it has a nafs between those two, which is a nafsul lawama, which whenever this human being deviates from the sirat al mustaqim, takes it back. So, over the past few nights, brothers and sisters, where are we going with all this? The ultimate thing, brothers and sisters, if you ask any person in this world, what do you really want? He says, I want to be happy. I want to be happy. So you find a person working night and day, raising lots of money, saving a lot of money so that he becomes happy. He wants to use this money in ways that he is pleased with. But then sometimes you find that this individual who raises a lot of money, he realizes that, you know, money is not all the happiness he gains. He's still left in a vacuum. And that's where the spirituality is in a vacuum. That's why an individual, a person, every person, requires to feed both his body and his spirituality. Not to forget about them both. Not to go after the spirituality and forget about the body. Like the Prophet one day, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he heard three people. One of them said, I will fast every single day. Another person said, I will never approach women. I will leave women. Khalas. And the third one said, I will pray night and day. So the Prophet called them. He said, this is not what I do. This body of yours has a right over you. So give it its right within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I don't fast every single day. There are days I fast and there are days that I don't fast. I don't spend the whole time in the masjid praying 24 hours. And I am married. I have wife and I have children and I attend to them. But within the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the aql controls these things, even these pleasures and desires become ibadah. Doing them is ibadah. That is when this person feels true happiness in every action he does. We also want to achieve this happiness, brothers and sisters. How do we achieve this happiness? So after these 10 nights, one day when you are driving, when something happens, you say, you know what? During that Muharram, we listened to Majalis. And we realized that, you know what? To be successful, one has to follow a formula. What is that formula? The formula, in order for us to really go into the path of tazkiyatun nafs, is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikrullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these ayat that we just recited, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bidhikrillah. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who believe and their hearts find tranquility. اطمئنان يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك. So that nafs of المطمئنة, how did it get there? This is through ذكر الله. ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, يا مؤمنين, O people, if you want to find the true happiness in dunya, in this world, and in the hereafter, your belief in Allah will find you this happiness. Your belief in Allah will attain you this happiness in this world and in the hereafter. Both cases. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ. This iman is not just the knowledge, knowing where is haqq and where is batil. That is alone is not enough, but to actually follow the path of haqq and to leave the path of batil. That is what's right. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the kuffar, the non-believers. He says, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ ظُلْمًا وَعُلُوًّا. He says, their nafs realizes this is the truth, knows this is haqq, but they rejected the haqq. So knowing where haqq is alone is not good enough, but to follow the path. So Allah says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. This اطمئنان comes as a consequence to this person's iman in Allah, submission in Allah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hence, the more a person submits to Allah, the more he will become at more peace and tranquility. The more he will be happy. Burair on the day of Ashura, Burayr, the companion of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. A man by the name of Abdul Rahman al-Ansari, who was also a companion, he was also on the day of Ashura with Imam Hussein. He heard Abu Burayr joking on the day of Ashura. He said to him, Burayr, أَوَ هَذِهِ سَاعَةُ الْمِزَاحِ, is this the time when you're joking and you're laughing? He said, this is not the time for batil, vanity. This is not the time to talk about some vanity stuff. He looked at him, Burayr looked at Abdul Rahman and said, my people, my tribe knew me and they know me. And they know that I never enjoyed batil, vanity. I never speak of vanity. But I am happy and laughing about our past. The only thing that is stopping us from meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, from going to Jannah, is an hours of fighting those people and their swords. That's it. In 1 hour's time, we're going to be with Rasulullah. We're going to be in paradise in 1 hour's time. Isn't this something to feel good about? Isn't this the ultimate happiness? So even on that day of Ashura, when Burayr knows in a few minutes, he is going to be cut into pieces. Yet, he is at peace and tranquility. He's happy. He's in peace. How? How did he do it? This is the tama'nina that he has in his heart. You find people in this dunya, that's the thing, brothers and sisters, in this dunya. My father narrates a story of a long time ago. He says in Karbala, many, many years ago, many decades ago, there was a person who owned paints. You know, he had paints, cans of paint. He used to sell paint. He says, one day they came to him and they told him, your shop is on fire. So he came, and back then the paint was made of materials that used to explode. So he came and he stood there, he saw his shop is on fire. And every little while a can would explode. One of the cans of paint would explode. He says, with every can, as if he himself exploded. He's looking at his own shop, every can is going, and he himself is going as well. And he says, sometime later, a similar situation happened, an incident like this, similar to this happened, where a person who had a carpentry shop, a big carpentry shop, like a factory, so lots of wood in there. One day they came to him also, they told him, come, come, rush. Your wood is burning. Your factory is burning. He says he came, he looked at it, and he was smiling. He was looking at the wood burning, smiling. So he said, people thought that this guy lost his mind. You know, khalas, and he finished. He's looking at the wood and finished. After a little while, you know, one of them came to him and he said, why are you smiling? He said, well, there is two things to do. I either sit down and cry, or I stand there and smile about it. If I'm going to cry, it won't help me in anything. It won't bring the wood back. So I might as well, you know, smile at it. And then inshallah, Allah will take care of it. You know, why worry? Why worry? How did that other guy do it? You know, what is the difference here? Subhanallah, this is the tama'neena. When a person has that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person, if a mu'min, has that connection with Allah, where he knows that everything comes from Allah, and if when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something, I have nothing to worry about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue taking care of me. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh says the first part of this sentence, Inna lillah iqrarun bil mulk. You are confessing that you belong to who? Allah. And then wa inna ilayhi raji'un iqrarun bil hulk. You are confessing that you are not going to stay forever in this world. One day you're going to leave this dunya. Khalas. So then why the human being should worry about anything materialistic in this dunya? Nothing materialistic. Brothers and sisters, anything materialistic, don't worry about it. This is what the human being has to remind himself of. If he can remind himself of this, then you find this individual never getting angry for the sake of himself. Yes, for the sake of Allah, he gets angry. When somebody attacks Islam, no, he gets angry. And he defends Islam. When somebody attacks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, no, he defends Rasulullah. When somebody attacks the Holy Quran, he defends the Holy Quran. When somebody attacks Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, he defends them. This is the anger for Allah, not for himself. But if somebody comes and attacks himself, he says, may Allah forgive you. May Allah forgive you. Amen. The hadith says, when somebody tells you about a shortcoming, if it were true, if indeed you have such a fault, then you should be grateful that somebody is telling you about it, that you have a shortcoming. And if it's a lie, if you don't have such a fault and somebody is accusing you of it, then the hadith says, well, you have just earned yourself hasanat without doing anything. You just sat down there and you earn yourself rewards for being patient. Somebody is accusing you and you're being patient. That's what we have to remind ourselves of, brothers and sisters. This dunya is very short. And hence we don't need to worry about what's going to have come into it, what goes away from it. It is said there was a king by the name of Sultan Mahmud. Sultan Mahmud had a slave. This slave was a little bit smart, was very intelligent. One day, for example, the king was going with his group and his ministers in a caravan, and he was carrying some of his jewelry with him. One of the box of jewelry fell down from the camel and got dispersed. So the ministers and everybody rushed to collect the jewelry and put it back into the box. This servant, his name was Ayaz. Ayaz remained next to the king. He did not leave the king. So the king looked at Ayaz and he said, everybody went to put the jewelry back. All my ministers, all my servants, except you. Why not? He said, my king, my lord, because the true jewel is you. It is not these things. These things are materialistic. What if somebody comes and attacks you at this stage and kill you? Then what is the point of the jewelry? The king was really amazed at this answer. Very, very smart answer. Very intelligent. You know, some people sometimes, you know, they come up with very intelligent answer. So then he raised him. He raised his ranks. He continued raising him and raising him until he became the advisor of the king. The servant, the slave, became the advisor. So the ministers who were around him, they became very jealous of him. This person who was a slave, all of a sudden he becomes the advisor of the king. Every day Ayaz, when he became the advisor of the king, every day when he comes to the mansion, the palace of the king, before he enters, he goes to a room next to the castle. There's a room. He goes into the room. And then he comes out. When he comes out, he locks the door of the room with three different locks. Three different locks to lock the door. So these ministers were looking at Ayaz, you know, what does he do in this room? He must be hiding some treasure. Otherwise, three locks inside there, what does he do? So they went to the king and they told him, you know this Ayaz of yours, this advisor whom you trust so much? He said, yes, what about him? They said, he is a thief. He is stealing from you. Why do you say so? Every day, this is what he does. Before he comes in, he goes into that room. Why would he lock it with three locks? He said, show me the room. They went, indeed, they saw three big locks guarding this room. He said, well, let's wait until Ayaz comes. When Ayaz came, the king said, open the locks, open this room, open the door. He said, why? He said, we want to see what's inside. Show us. So the minister said, show us the treasure that you've been stealing all the past. For the past while. Show us. He said, okay, if you want to see, really, if you insist, come. He unlocked the three locks. They went inside.
they saw an old garment of clothes and old pair of shoes. That's it. The king looked at Ayaz, he said, is this what you're hiding? 3 lots for this? The minister said, no, he must be lying. Let us search. So they searched, they dug the place, they couldn't find anything. The king said, what is this, Ayaz? He said, my lord, I was a servant, a slave, working for you. I didn't have anything. And then all of a sudden, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me and blessed me and blessed me until I became your advisor. So every day, when I became your advisor, I want to remind myself, Ayaz, remember what you were and where we will be, where you're going to go later. Remember this. Don't be fooled by these beautiful clothes and beautiful ranks. So every morning I come, I enter into this room, I wear my old clothes and my old shoes. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing me. This reminds me of who I was. This is who I truly am. This is me. Ayaz, the servant. And then I put on the good clothes and I come out. And I say, this is what I go out to the people with. But the one inside is this Ayaz, the servant. So the king turned to the minister and he said to them, listen, you have to ask for his forgiveness or else I'm going to kill you all right now. So he forgave them all. He said, don't kill them. I forgive them all. This is the human being, brothers and sisters. When a person is such a mu'min, has iman, then you got to realize there's nothing worth it in dunya. Sometimes we get angry. Why? Because this person got promoted and I didn't get promoted. I am more worthy of being promoted than he is. How come he gets promoted and I don't get promoted? And we start really killing ourselves from in the inside, thinking about this night and day. What for? If a person realizes that inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un, whatever we have in this world belongs to Allah. And Allah is the true giver. Allah is the true sustainer. Then what do I have to worry? If he promotes me or if they don't demote me, I don't really care. If they fire me altogether, I don't care. Who cares? A person feels jealous. Why so and so? Allah blessed him with money and he hasn't given me any money. So and so, mashallah, she's married to a very handsome husband and my husband, look at him. You know, this is my husband. So, when people sometimes start thinking like this, then starts chewing them from the inside. A person, if he is a true mu'min, will realize that, you know what, this life is not worth it. I mean, whatever God has given me, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, alhamdulillah. So these thinking, this style of thinking is all derived from where? Attachment to this dunya. If a person realizes that, you know what, we don't have to worry about this. It is said one day, a person had a neighbor, and he was so jealous of his neighbor, so jealous of him. So one day, he went and he bought a slave, this man. Bought a slave and raised the slave until he became a young man. He came to the slave of his. He told him, how have I been to you as a lord? He said, you've been an excellent lord, excellent master. I could not have wished for any better master than you. He said, okay, I have something to ask you for. He said, what? He said, I want you to kill me on the roof of my neighbor and dump the knife on his roof so that people think that he killed me and they would kill him. He said, why do you want to do this? He said, didn't you just say that I have been such a good master for you and you'll obey me in everything I'll say to you? He said, yes. But I don't want to kill you. He said, no, this is what I want. This is my final wish. Ajeeb, subhanAllah. This is a true story, huh? This is not a true story. So then, the servant kills the master on the roof of his neighbor and dumps the knife and the servant ran away. This happened in Baghdad, in the city of Baghdad during the Abbasid dynasty. This man then ran from Baghdad, he went to Isfahan, to Iran, the slave. They came the next day, they saw this man is dead on the neighbor's roof, the knife is there full of blood, they caught the neighbor. They took him to the caliph, the khalifa. One of the ministers of the khalifa said, I know this man, he doesn't do these things. You know, I'm sure there is something here. Why don't you give me a week to investigate this? He said, okay, investigate it. He started looking for the servant. He searched and searched. He realized he went to Isfahan. He sent a letter to the governor of Isfahan. He said, find this man and ask him about his master. What happened? So he found him. One day he invited him. So the governor of Isfahan invites the slave. They have a meal together. They eat. He says, so tell me about your master. What happened to him? He said, you don't want to know what happened to my master. He says, no, I insist, tell me. He says, this is what happened. I could not understand how could a person be so jealous. But this is what he wanted and this is what I did to him. So then he told him, okay, would you testify this? Would you say this? He said, yes, I would. I'm feeling guilty. So they brought him to Baghdad and he testified. It is said the Abbasi caliph, he got shocked. He said, how could there be such people? And he let them all go. He said, you all go. You know, he went, he died, let them go to Jahannam. Khalas. But you have such individuals, brothers and sisters. This starts burning on the inside. Why? Because there is no much faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It all comes from the connection of the heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the heart is connected with Allah, then a person does not care. And the closer it is connected, the more it is connected with Allah, then the more a person would be at peace. So here the ayah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bidhikrillah. Ala bidhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Brothers and sisters, whatever we are doing from this day onwards, let us ask ourselves this one simple question. This action I am doing right now, is it an action that Allah is pleased with, or is it an action that Allah is not pleased with? Is it an action that I can respond for on the day of judgment, or is it an action that I cannot respond to on the day of judgment? What am I going to say about this I'm doing? So brothers and sisters, after this 10th night, this is what we want to learn. This is what we want to leave with. A person, the more he is close and attached and remembers Allah, the more he will be at peace and tranquility. No matter how many difficulties Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests him with, no matter what he goes through in dunya, he won't be moved and won't be shaken. You find this individual in the dunya always at peace and at comfort. Always in happiness. Is always pleased. Even if he faces the most great difficulty in the world, he's still at peace and tranquility. Yet, when a person doesn't have this, then the slightest difficulty he goes through, he starts feeling unhappy, uneasy. And every human being is tested with difficulties and tribulations. Every human being. So you find the mu'mineen always are happy and joyful. And those who are not mu'mineen, they're always in difficulty. They're always in difficulty. Something inside, deep inside, doesn't make them feel right. A few years ago, there was a study that was done at UCLA, the University of California, Los Angeles, where they surveyed the students. They found that the students who had faith, who believed in God, they were less susceptible to suffering from depression and from drugs and alcohol. Those who had more faith in Allah, they were more happy and had less, for example, problems with drugs and alcohol. Why? They have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So brothers and sisters, let us make every day of ours a connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the beginning of the day until the end of the day. There are several du'as, several things we can read, several things we can do. For example, how many times do we visit Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif? You know, imagine if Imam is living here in this city. How many times would you go see him? How many times would you meet with him? Now, some people still say, every day. I will go every day. But really, how many times? At least at home, when you pray Salat al-Subh, if you can, every day pray two rak'at Salat and give the thawab to Imam al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Pray for his protection. This increases one's connection with the Imam. Reminds us that we have an Imam. We have an Imam who's our master, who's our guide. Remember the other mu'mineen in the world. Pray to Allah for their protection and their security. It reminds the human being of what Allah has blessed him with. When I'm praying for the mu'mineen who are suffering in other parts of the world, and I look at myself and alhamdulillah, I have, you know, a nice house, warm. I go to my fridge, I have my breakfast ready. You know, it makes me thank Allah, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I'm stressing myself, you know, I have this problem to worry about, that problem. And I've got so many blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surrounding me. Reading Dua al-Sabah, reading the Holy Qur'an, this makes the person feel peace and tranquility, feel happy a little bit in the daytime. Remembering Allah, reading a beautiful Dua which is found in Ziyarat Aminullah. Ziyarat Aminullah is the Ziyarat of Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. It was taught to us by Imam al-Sajjad, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. In that Dua, Imam al-Sajjad, salamullah alayhi, says, اللهم اجعل نفسي مطمئنة بقدرك. Oh Allah, make my nafs happy with whatever you send upon it. راضية بقضائك, pleased with everything you decide for it. اجعل نفسي مطمئنة بقدرك, راضية بقضائك, مولعة بذكرك ودعائك. محبة لصفوة أوليائك, محبوبة في أرضك وسمائك, صابرة على نزول بلائك, ذاكرة شاكرة لسوابغ آلائك, ذاكرة لفواضل نعمائك, مشتاقة إلى فرحة لقائك, متزودة التقوى ليوم جزائك, مستنة بسنن أوليائك, مفارقة لأخلاق أعدائك, مشغولة عن الدنيا بحمدك وثنائك. This is dua in Ziyarat Aminullah. If you open Ziyarat Aminullah, you'll have this dua. Where a person says, Ya Allah, make me happy, make me pleased. Whenever there is a difficulty, make me patient. Make me remember your blessings, Ya Allah. Make me enjoy doing your ibadah, Ya Allah. This is what a true mu'min becomes, brothers and sisters. People, sometimes they try to find this peace and tranquility through other means. You find them doing yoga, for example. You find them doing some exercises. That's how they try to find their inner self, as they call it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right there in front of us. He's given us the Holy Quran. He's given us Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They've given us all these things to teach us who ourself, or what is ourself, how to control ourself. The second munajat, munajatu shakin, the munajat of the one who's complaining. Imam Sajjad complains to Allah of his nafs that is always trying to attach him towards dunya. How many times we read that munajat? So whenever we feel that, you know, we are a little bit, the heart is a little bit heavy, we turn to Allah. We turn to Allah. If we do dhikrullah, then Allah will also does our dhikr. If a person remembers Allah,
Allah will also remember that individual. But if a person forgets about Allah, Allah will also forget about him. What does mean Allah forget about him? Of course, Allah doesn't forget somebody. Allah doesn't forget anybody. But Allah will make this individual forget to do his dhikr, to forget to remember him. And khalas, then he'll stay in this path. In the path of difficulty, in the path of pain, throughout his life.
Brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us Abi Abdullah al-Husayn, Imam Hussein. Here we are on the eve of Ashura. We come to see and ask ourselves, where do we stand before Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Look at his example. Look at his example and the example of his companions. Look how great they were. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, no matter, despite all the difficulties he witnessed on the day of Ashura, all the difficulties, he stands there and he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allahumma ridhan biqadaik. Oh Allah, I accept whatever you have sent upon me. This is, all this, brothers and sisters, is lesson for us, huh? Lessons for us. So mu'mineen and mu'minat, the path for us to really do tazkiyatun nafs, to really purify our souls, is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remember Him constantly. And to ask ourselves always, myself, are you pleasing Allah or are you disobeying Allah? Wal'iyadu billah. To my dear youth, remember that God Almighty is watching you, huh? Allah is watching you. Allah is seeing what we do. So before you engage in an action that is of His disobedience, establishing wal'iyadu billah, or making a relationship that is haram, a haram relationship, think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me here. I should be embarrassed of myself. I should be ashamed of myself here. How can I do this? And then that will stop you. To my sisters, when you go out without your hijab, ask yourself, tell yourself, Allah is not happy with me like this. How can I dare to make Him unhappy with me? Who am I to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our brothers, whenever you come to your home and meet your family, make sure you treat them with respect. Treat them with generosity, with humbleness. No shouting, no crying, no yelling. Because Allah is watching. Allah is watching. Same thing with the sisters. A son and a daughter, the way they treat the parents, with respect, with humbleness. The minute he wants to raise his voice, he should remember, you know, Allah is watching me here. I shouldn't be doing this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing me. When a person does this, it means he's constantly remembering Allah. And hence, he's always at peace and tranquility. He's always happy. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on the eve of Ashura, on a night like this night, he was talking to his sister Zainab alayhi salam. She approached him. She said, "Akha ya Aba Abdullah, what is going to happen tomorrow?" He said, "Zainab, you know what will happen tomorrow. You know the hadith of Ummu Ayman. The hadith that Ummu Ayman narrated from my grandfather Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On this day I'm going to be killed. On the next day, tomorrow, I will be killed. And so will all my companions. And you will be left alone with the women and the children, and the only man that will be with you is my son Ali al-Sajjad, and he is extremely ill. So you need to be strong, ya Zainab, because you will have to take care of the children. You'll have to gather them. You'll have to make sure that they are okay. You will be the only one who could look after all the family and the children. And for this you need to be strong. Have the patience." Then she said to him, "Ya Akhi, Ya Aba Abdullah, have you tested your companions and their intentions? Are they genuine? He said, "Yes, my sister, I tested them, and I saw that they enjoy death more than a child who enjoys the milk of his mother." At that moment, one of the companions heard her. He rushed to Habib. He said, "Ya Habib, Zainab is doubting our loyalty." So Habib came from behind the tent and he said, "Ya bint Rasulullah, here I am, Shaykh al-Ansar. I am the master of the companions. And here I am assuring you that we will not desert your brother Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and our master." Imam Hussein turned to her sister and he told her, "Ya Zainab, he is addressing you." So she said, "May Allah bless you, Ya Habib. May Allah bless you, Ya Habib." And indeed, the companions spent that night praying, doing sujood, doing ibadah, remembering Allah. It is said like a beehive. You know, they were buzzing like bees. Like bees in ibadah. Even on the night where they know the next day they are going to Jannah. But they enjoy the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar ibn Sa'ad wanted to attack the camp of Imam Hussein at night, on the eve of Ashura. Imam Hussein sent his brother Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He said, "Go and tell them to leave us for the night at least. Let us wait. Let them wait the night." Why? لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمْ إِنِّي كَمْ أُحِبُّ الصَّلَاةِ. Allah knows how much I love salat. So I want to spend this night in ibadah. In ibadah. In salat. Brothers and sisters, all these are lessons for us. How many of us enjoy our salat? Enjoy this, the prayers we do. We stand and we immediately pray, "Allahu Akbar, Bismillah ar-Rahman," so quickly and rapidly, and then we go. At least from tomorrow onwards or from tonight onwards, when it's time for salat, let me just wait for a few seconds here. Try to clear my mind for a few seconds. And then do the salat. Let me try to enjoy my salat. Enjoy my ibadah. Enjoy my communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is our master Imam Hussein saying how much Allah knows. Allah knows how much I enjoy my salat. And I want to spend the night praying. Although he knows tomorrow he is going to Jannah. He knows he is Sayyid Shabab Ahlil Jannah. Yet, he's doing the ibadah. He's doing the worship. He's teaching us. On the day of Ashura, his companion Abu Thumam al-Sa'idi comes to him. He says, "Oh my master, it is the time of salat." He says, "Dhakarta salat, ja'alaka Allahu min al-musalleen." You remember salat, may Allah make you among those who establish salat. He asked Umar ibn Sa'd to stop the battle. He refused. So he kept two people in front of him to guard him while he prayed quickly with his companions. When he finished the salat, those two companions who stood in front of Imam Hussein, they dropped because their body was full of arrows and spears. And then they turned to Imam Hussein and they said, "Ya Abu Abdullah, have we done enough? Have we done enough?" He told them, "May Allah bless you. You will be in front of me on the day of judgment. I'm going to ask Allah to make you in front of me. Ahead of me." On the day of Ashura, Allama al-Majlisi narrates this story in Bihar al-Anwar. He says, after the companions got killed, Imam Hussein alayhi salam made it to the water. He made it to the water. He got to the water. He dipped his hand to drink from the water. One of the enemies cried, called from behind, "Qala ya Hussein, ataltazzu bi shurb al-ma'?" Do you enjoy the water while your women are being attacked? Imam Hussein knew this man was lying. He knew his women are not being attacked. He knew this. But he wanted to make Ashura a school for us, a lesson for us. So despite his thirst, he let go of the water. He came back to show us that people take care of your women and your children, take care of their hijab. On the day of Ashura, I let go of the water when my heart was boiling from thirst, to take care of my women and my children. And here you are taking them lightly. Take care of them, educate them, teach them. All these are lessons, huh? All these are lessons on the part of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the dhikr of Allah. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, after having gone through all the companions, all of them got killed, he witnessed all their death one after the other. He would recite Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظَرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And among them is he who has fulfilled his promise and got killed. And among them is he who is awaiting, but they have not changed from what is within them. And one after the other, they are getting killed and killed and killed. And then the companions and then the family members, one after the other, until he loses Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, salamullahi alayh. At which time he comes back to the tent and he says, Ya Zainab, call my family, call the women and the children. He went to the battlefield. He fought bravely. He came back. He told her, Ya Zainab, come. She came. He said, bring all the children. Again, he would farewell them. And then he would go back. Hamid ibn Muslim says, I have never seen a man who's lost and witnessed the loss and the killing of all his companions and his family members, yet he is fighting so bravely. He is not even moved. And the enemies are running away from him like sheep running away from an attacking wolf. I haven't seen this. Imam Hussein is telling us nothing in this dunya is worth it. It is the akhirah. It is the akhirah. No matter what difficulty you go through in dunya, it should not move your faith in Allah. As long as you have your belief and your aqidah and your faith in Allah, you'll be at peace and tranquility. Yes, you're going to suffer. Yes, Imam Hussein cried on the day of Ashura many times. Yes, he says, my back is broken now after the loss of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. But yet, did his faith in Allah change? Never. Not even a second. Not even a second. Until the last time he came back to the tent, he said, Ya Zainab, for the last time, call my wives, my children, my sisters, for this is the last time I shall be coming to see you. Zainab alayhi salam called all the children, all the women. They all came. They started hugging Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Some of them started kissing his hand. Some of them started kissing his feet. Some of them calling him, Oh, our father, what shall we do after you? Others are calling, Oh, brother, what shall we do after you? Some are crying, Oh, our master, what shall we do after you? And he's comforting them all. And then he recognizes one is missing. He says, Zainab, Aina Sukaina? Where is Sukaina? She said, Akhi Aba Abdullah, Innaha fil khayma. She is inside the tent. She could not come and bid the last farewell to you. Imam Hussein went into the tent. He saw Sukaina sitting down, crying, weeping. He said, Oh, daughter, Ya Sukaina, your tears are very precious for on me. Don't cry. She said, Father, you have given up, you've submitted to death. Khalas, that's it, you're gonna go and die.
قال بني وما يصنع من لا ناصر له and what shall a person like me do who have no helper and no support but submit to death and to the will of Allah سبحانه وتعالى but يا زينة but يا سكينة save your tears because you'll be shedding them after my martyrdom she said father I have a last request from you he said yes يا سكينة she said oh father when Hamida the daughter of Muslim heard of the news that her father got killed you took her you made her sit on your lap and you wiped with your hand over her head I want you to wipe over my head to tell me to make me feel that you are comforting me as an orphan Imam Hussein alayhi salam comforted her then he wiped her tears and then he came out of the tent he bid the last farewell to Zainab alayhi salam then Zainab when she saw him wanting to head to the battlefield she cried mahla mahla ya ibna az-zahra wait oh son of fatima Imam Hussein said, what is it, ya Zainab? She said, brother, descend down from your horse, dismount. Imam Hussein dismounted from the horse. She said, brother, open your chest for me, open your shirt. He opened his shirt. She kissed him on his shirt. Then she smelled him from his neck. Then she turned towards Medina. قالت السلام عليك يا أمه لقد أنفذت الوصية. O Mother Fatima, I have performed the will. Imam Hussein said, Ya Zainab, what will? She said, when the day came for our mother to leave this world, she took my hand and she said, Ya Zainab, on the day of Ashura, you will see your brother Hussein all alone. I will not be there, but kiss Hussein from his chest for me, because his chest will fall under the horses of Bani Umayyah. And kiss Hussein from his neck for me, because his neck is gonna go into the spears of Bani Umayyah. And now I have performed this will, Ya Aba Abdullah. When Imam Hussein heard the name of his mother Fatima, he said, Ya Zainab, you broke my heart into pieces by mentioning the name of our mother Fatima. And he said, As-salamu alayki ya ummah. O Mother Fatima, God knows how much I long for you and how much am I looking to see you soon. Then he rode his horse as he wanted to go to the battlefield. Zainab said, Akhi Aba Abdullah, wait a minute, Ya Aba Abdullah, what is it now, Zainab? She said, look at your baby, Abdullah al-Radi' Ali al-Asghar. She said, he is dying, his mother has no more milk to feed him. Why don't you take him to the people? Maybe they will give him some water. Imam Hussein took Ali al-Asghar. It is said he wrapped him with his aba at first. And he approached the people, the enemies, slowly.
People said when we saw him covering something, we thought he was covering the Quran. He wanted to tell us this is the book of Allah. He wanted to give us some admonishment. But then he uncovered and we saw a beautiful young baby who was only 6 months old. Imam Hussein looked at the enemies and he said, إن كان للكبار ذنب فما ذنب هذا الرضيع. If us the old people have committed a crime against you, what is the crime of this baby? What has he done to you? Look at him dying from thirst. Why don't you go feed him water? If you don't trust me with the water, you take him, feed him and give him back to me. For the first time in the camp of Umar ibn Sa'd, they were split. Some people said, we should give this baby some water, for he has not done any crime against us. Other people said, no, nobody from Ahlul Bayt will taste water until they all die. That's when Umar ibn Sa'd turned to Harmala ibn Kahil and he said, Ya Harmala, ihsim niza' al-qawm. He said, Oh Harmala, end the dispute of the people. He said, What do you want me to do? He said, Finish the baby. Harmala said, I took out my arrow, I put it in the bow. Then I was waiting. A wind came by that exposed the neck of the baby. His neck was shining like silver. So I put my arrow in my bow and I shot the arrow. And the arrow came in the neck of Abdullah al-Rabi' while he was on his father's hands. And then the baby started moving his hands and feet, crying as if he's telling his father, Oh my father, why did they kill me? What have I done? Imam al-Hussein looked at his baby on his own hands, being shot with an arrow and bleeding. It is said he took some of the blood of the neck of Abdullah al-Radi' of Ali al-Asghar. He threw it to the skies. It is said not a single drop came back down. And he said, Allahumma hawwan alayya ma nazala bi annahu bi'aynik. Oh Allah, what is my pain and my difficulty is that you are looking after him. Then he came back to the tent. Zainab alayhi salam came. She said, Akhi Aba Abdullah, did you feed the baby water? He said, Ya Zainab, my grandfather Rasulullah fed him the water. Ya Zainab, qatalu waladi. They killed my son Abdullah. They killed Ali al-Asghar. شيعتي مهما رأيتم من رضيع وهو ضامي فاذكروا طفلي الذي قتلوه وسقوه الحمامي. Despite all these difficulties, it is said when Imam Hussein fell down on the plains of Karbala, he made himself a pillow of the sand. One of the enemy says, I saw him whispering something. I said, if he is praying against us, we have all perished. But then as I approached him, I saw him praying to Allah, saying, Ilahi, taraktu al-khalqa turran fi hawaka. وأيتمت العيال لكي أراك فإن
وإن قطعتني في الحب إربا لما مال الفؤاد إلى سواك.
He was saying, Oh my Lord, I have left everything in this dunya for your love, Ya Allah. And even if you cut me into pieces, my heart will never love anyone but you, Ya Allah.
At that moment, Zainab cried. She came to Abi Abdullah crying, Aywa Khah wa Husayna.
إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مؤمنين المؤمنات raise your hands for the dua. Laylat Ashura, this is the time when the dua is accepted, inshaAllah. Raise your hands.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Amma yujibul mudtarra idha da'ah wa yakshifu assum. 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 أما يجيب المضطر إذا دعا ويكشف السوء. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم 10 times يا الله يا الله يا الله يا الله Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Ilahi bi Fatimata wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al mustawda' fiha ikshif 'anna as-su'a ya Allah. Allahumma ighfir dhunubana ya Allah. اللهم كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله اللهم اقض حوائج المحتاجين يا الله شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله اللهم من أوصونا بالدعاء اقض حوائجهم شافي مرضاهم ارحمهم برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر لي ولوالدي وارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اجزهما بالإحسان إحسانا وبالسيئات غفرانا رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء اللهم اكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين آمن المؤمنين في أوطانهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا
حتى تسكنه أرضك طوى وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليه. اللهم أرزقنا زيارة الحسين في كربلاء عاجلا يا الله وشفاعته عاجلا يا الله. أحينا حياة محمد وآل محمد وأمتنا مماتهم واحشرنا في زمرتهم وارزقنا شفاعتهم. اللهم نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله، لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى ولكشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة ولتعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان، وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات لا سيما أرواح أموات الجالسين والحاضرين والمؤمنين، رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات.